you do need diversity.
In a lot of my books, I don't ever specify what race the characters are. So if you're reading my books and you go, well, all her characters are white, that's on you. Because it's rarely been an issue with the characters. It's not something that they bring up because they don't care what race you are. I do want to mention age again really quickly. She kind of went over that one quickly, but that one's near and dear to my heart. Because I love writing characters that aren't hero age. And even if they are the hero of the story, they don't have to be mid-20s to mid-30s, good-looking, with washboard abs and whatever else. I'm not saying you should make your main character extra young if your audience isn't extra young, but you might consider it.
You also don't need to follow the stereotypes in this. Your mentor character doesn't have to be an old person. Your mentor character can be a relatively young person who's just lived a hard life. Remember, diversity. I'm also going to go back to the sexual orientation.
This is an issue we're going to have an episode devoted to next month in June, but we did want to talk about it quickly here.
You have to put any sort of political or ideological ideas aside when you're writing. Because whether you agree with it or not, there are people out there, real people with real feelings, that are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, non-binary. You have to accept that is a real thing that we're living with. So if you're writing in modern times, the likelihood that your character is going to run into somebody on that non-binary sexual orientation spectrum is pretty high.
Another concept to include in your story's diversity is a disability of some kind. I've mentioned on the podcast before that I have several friends who are deaf. They don't really see it as a disability, but I know a lot of hearing people do. But having people who might have had a limb amputated, or having people who are blind or mute, all of these things can happen to your character, and there's a story behind it.
My favorite character from Brandon Sanderson's Stormlight Archive first book is a character named Lopin. He only has one arm, but he is the most positive character in the whole thing, and absolutely hilarious. I will always remember the joke when he gets stuck to a wall using magic, and he's up on the wall and he's like, "What did the one-armed Herdazian do to the man who stuck him to the wall?" Nothing. He's armless. And it works because it's already in his accent that he has a little bit of that dropping the H's thing that was built into his character. And so it's just such a funny pun. And I love it. And it just, it's his character. He doesn't care that he doesn't have an arm. He doesn't let it stop him. And he just keeps moving forward with his abounding positivity. It makes him such a good character. And it's having that disability diversity that really makes the whole system in the Way of Kings. Because while he's armless, you have the main character who has severe depression. There's another character who has multiple personality disorder. And there's another character who has a drug addict. All of these people are dealing with their own things, and it all comes together like an amazing mix of good characters that make the story.
So the last thing I want to offer you writers as far as tools for making sure you have these statistics straight in your story, especially if you're a pantser and you don't write all of this down, have an actor in mind, fantasy cast your book so that you can keep it straight throughout your story and you don't end up with continuity errors. I did that for the first book in my current series, and when I gave the book to my audiobook narrators, I said, hey, this character is played by this actor, and then they know exactly how to portray said character. So when you are creating your characters in your book, go ahead, make him look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who cares? Just have that image in your mind and keep it the entire time, and that'll help you keep the details straight, especially when you aren't writing them down in the book.
I have a difficult time fantasy casting my books. I will keep notes on that character that will list out their physiognomy. It will list out their family history. It'll list out their personality quirks and flaws so that I know if I forget, I can just look, oh yeah, that's what it is. Oh yeah, they have blue eyes. Whether it matters or not, whether I put it in my book or not, I still have it on the side for me to remember.
What we're trying to tell you is your characters should be real. They should be people. You should be able to meet them, say hello, recognize them on the street. Because you, of all people, you created them. And sure, you might want to sock them if you meet them on the street. Fine. That's great. Hate your characters. I do that all the time. But have fun with it and keep it personal. And that means
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Hi, I'm Dr. Patty, and Therapy in a Nutshell is a show where I try to talk about things that are going to give people the help that they need. Not everybody can afford therapy, not everybody can get to therapy or get your significant people in your life to go. So this is a show that you can listen to over and over again. You can go to the archives here on KCNR1460.com. You can go to my podcast on the Anchor app, also Spotify, iTunes, and all the different podcast apps, and just type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell. Today we are going to be talking about New Year's resolutions. And the question I always put with New Year's resolutions is why? Why do we do them? What's the purpose of them? Why do they usually fail? How do we feel about them? And when I hear somebody in my office start talking about, well, for my New Year's resolution this year, I'm going to fill in the blank. And I say, why? Why are you doing that? And it becomes a very interesting discussion. So I started thinking about what would be a timely show to do for this time of year. And this is where everybody starts thinking about what they're going to do differently in this next year, this coming 2020. And people's thoughts turn to it between Christmas and New Year's, because by New Year's Eve, you want to have in your mind, I'm going to be doing this differently in my life. So to start out, let's look at a little bit of the facts that go around New Year's resolutions. Research shows that about 80% of New Year's resolutions fail by February. And you would think that means 20% don't, but they just haven't failed yet. Only about 8% of resolutions that people set are successful. And why is that? What's going on here that people get in their head, I want to do this differently, I want to change my life, and then it doesn't happen? So in today's show, we're going to talk about, first off, why do we set resolutions and what do we do and how do we set ourselves up for failure? And then I want to teach you something I've been teaching people for years about how we make decisions or avoid making decisions and how that affects us. And that is a therapeutic issue that has nothing to do with New Year's resolutions but affects New Year's resolutions. So be sure and tune into that section of the show too, because that is an issue that's going to help you with other type of things in your life, not just New Year's resolutions. Then I also want to teach you, if you're going to make some changes in your life, I want to give you some positive ways to do that and set yourself up for success, not failure. So let's talk about this whole New Year's resolution thing. I read this really funny thing that said, "Dear New Year's resolution, well, it was fun while it lasted. Sincerely, January 2nd. I thought that was funny. So by January 2nd, we're giving up. Here's what I see people do. They begin to set resolutions that are vague, and they're all-encompassing for their life. Things like, I'm going to start exercising, or I'm going to lose weight. In fact, exercise, losing weight, financial are some of the top things that people set resolutions about. And it's usually because they have been trying to do something differently in their lives and it's not happening. You've just come through the holidays where you've probably felt like you were pigging out way more than you needed to. And you start saying, well, I'm not going to deal with this right now. I'm going to enjoy myself. But I'll start back on my diet or start a diet or start doing fill in the blank, eating more healthy, exercising more, whatever. And I'll start that as a New Year's resolution. What I see that does is it's a way of putting off, of procrastinating what it is you want to do differently. It's also a form of permission. I give myself permission to indulge with whatever it is I think I'm indulging in right now, and I will stop soon. I will change soon. I'll change in January. I'll have a New Year's resolution that I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm fill in the blank. I'm going to do something differently. So New Year's resolutions are a way of giving yourself permission to do what it is you want to do anyway. So when you start to look at what it is you want to change and you think, oh, I'm going to do that as a New Year's resolution, that is an insight into you. It's a window into your soul. What are the things that you value? Think about that for a minute. When you say, I want to lose weight, I want to exercise more, I'd like to save money, I would like to get organized, I would like to drink less. Think of the things that you hear people say. Those are insights into what it is that you value the most. So when we want to lose 20 pounds or we want to exercise more, why is it that we value that? Is it you're valuing looks? Is it a vanity thing? Is it a perfect body thing? Are you valuing health? Are you wishing that you were healthier? So don't just look at what it is you want to change. Ask yourself why. And like I tell people all the time, when you ask yourself why, the key is to answer your own question. So I want to set a New Year's resolution of saving more money, not spending as much. Why? Why do you want to set that? Well, it causes fights between my significant other and me. I don't like seeing the credit card bill when it comes every month. What is it you don't like? You're tired of being in debt. You're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. What motivates you to set that goal? And then that is a window into your soul. I forgot to say at the beginning of the show, too, we are live today here at the studio. So if you've got a comment or a question about New Year's resolutions, you can call 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. And you can call in anonymously, too. You don't have to say who you are. So we're looking at the New Year's resolutions that we tend to set are vague and the type of goals that make you feel better about yourself. So they are the things that you feel out of control of in your life or things that you wish you could improve. And it's an insight into your soul. Here's the other question I like to ask people. How many times have you set this New Year's resolution? And most people start laughing and they say, well, every January for the past 10 years or past 20 years or whatever. So every January they make a commitment to themselves. They're going to lose 20 pounds. And for the first couple days they do all right. And then it kind of slacks off and then they go back to it. And by February they're totally forgetting what's going on. So ask yourself why and how many times have I set this goal for myself? What is it that makes me want to do this? So if only 8% of people that set resolutions are successful, how do they do that? How do they make the changes in their life to make that resolution come about? And I'm going to explain that to you in the last part of the show. I want to teach you how to be successful at the changes that you'd like to make in your life. And one of the main keys has to do with how you make decisions and what you focus on and how you begin to put your attention to that. So when you start shoulding all over yourself and saying, I should lose weight, I should exercise more, I should save money, I should stop drinking so much, I should spend less time on electronics, I should value my friends and family more, I should quit smoking, I should stop this, start that. Stop and look at why. What is it you're asking yourself? All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to teach you how to make decisions.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. Randy is a Native American flute player, award winner, won lots and lots of awards, played all over the world. You can go to his website, randymcginnis.com, and listen to his music. You can hear him on Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, all those things. He's got 6 CDs. They're all different and they're all beautiful. Thank you, Randy, for allowing us to use your music on our show. So we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Why? Why do we do those? And it's very important that I teach you about why we make decisions and how we make decisions and how, as human beings, we can really screw that up for ourselves. I'd like to do a shout out to my former intern, Tamara Baker. Tamara asked me, she said, God, Patty, would you reteach that thing that you do about decision making? Because it's helped her personally and it's helped her help a lot of other clients. Tamara's now licensed and an excellent therapist, and I just want to tell her hi, and I'm doing this because you asked me to, and it fits in with New Year's resolutions beautifully. So how do we make decisions? As human beings, some people are better at decision making than others. You know if you are or not. You're somebody who can go, okay, I need to decide what to do with this, and boom, 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 you've decided and you've taken action and you've started doing it. Other people hem and haw and wishy-wash all around and avoid making a decision or go back and forth or poll the entire world. What would you do? What are your choices? And what do you think of this? And they really recognize that they don't do decision making very well. So what I like to teach people is to break down a decision you're going to make into your two top choices and call those choices A and B. Often if you choose A, you can't choose B because something, you know, it's not the same thing. So the mechanism that I see people use to procrastinate or to stall making a decision or to not ever make the decision, is doing this thing that I call choosing not to choose. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you've been saying, I'm going to start exercising more. And you're real vague. And you have to decide, am I going to join the gym or not? Or am I just going to start walking? Or what am I going to do? So choice A would be join the gym. Choice B would be start getting up in the morning and going out and walking and actually using those weights that are sitting in your garage that you bought 10 years ago that you've hardly touched. And you keep humming and hawing and not joining the gym and not setting a time to go out and do it. So you end up in that gray area between choice A and choice B. And that's the land of choosing not to choose. When you don't choose, and you don't do either one, you have allowed yourself to not make a decision and to procrastinate. So that land of choosing not to choose becomes that gray area of safety where you don't have to risk failure or risk wasting money or risk being uncomfortable getting up and going out and walking or doing whatever the other choice was. So you run around in that little land of choosing not to choose and fool yourself into thinking that you're working on it. Let me give an example that I see often in people. They're going to change jobs. They'd like to have a different job, a better job, something they're happier with, that they follow their bliss a little more with. Yet, they would have to actually look for another job, get their resume together, apply for other jobs, and wrap their head around leaving the job that they have. So they don't do any of those things. So they don't actually choose to stay where they're working, and they don't actually choose to go from where they're working, and they run around in that little choosing not to choose land between the two choices. And they say to themselves, well, I'm working on it, or I'm thinking about it, and they're actually getting nowhere. Let's take a whole nother example. You're thinking that you want to take some college classes. Either you want to start working on a degree or you want to take them for fun. And you're thinking that would be good. Like, let's say you just want to take an art class out of the college. And you've been talking about it for a while. But you never actually go sign up. You don't move forward with signing up for the art class and committing to it. So you say, I'm going to take an art class out of college. But because you never actually choose to follow through and do it, the choice you're making is to not go. When you don't choose to look for another job, get your resume together, the choice you are making is to stay in the job where you're working. If you don't choose to join the gym or go out and walk, you choose not to choose. The choice that you're making is to not up your exercise. So what we have to recognize is that choosing not to choose is actually a choice. And we have to remember that we are allowing ourselves to be in that place. Now, why do we do that? Why do we choose not to choose? People who avoid commitment, it's usually for fear of failure. They don't want to look foolish or be embarrassed, or they don't want to not be good at it. Or it's for fear of success. If I start going to the gym, if I get up and walk and my significant other won't get up and walk with me, that's going to make me angry or ticked off, and I don't want that to happen, and I don't want to get up and go out and walk when it's cold, and I don't want to go out and walk when it's hot. So they're choosing not to choose because of uncomfortable things that are in their way. And rather than deal with each of those roadblocks, it's easier to say, I'm thinking about it, or I'm going to do that soon, or I'm planning on taking the art class out of the college. I'm just never actually stepping into it and going and signing up. So when we choose not to choose, it is a call to consciousness. Why are we doing that? Why do we not want to go forward? What's in our way? What are we uncomfortable with? And that's the part where I see people in my private practice be very unconscious. The more aware you are as a human being, the more you are aware of why you do or do not do the things that you do. So let's go back to the choice about exercising. You've decided that your New Year's resolution, back to the New Year's resolution thing, you decide that what you want to do is to start exercising more. Now, why? What's your motivation? What do you want to do it for? And let's break it down. Let's say that you've gone, my jeans are tight, or I'm sick of carrying around this extra roll of belly fat, or I'm tired of when I go for a walk with my grandkids that I'm huffing and puffing. I'm really bothered that I can't get up off the floor very easily. I don't like feeling out of shape. I used to be an athlete and I don't do much anymore. I feel so sedentary. So are those your reasons why? Ask yourself. Or is it just because you should? Or the doctor has said to you, you need to lower your cholesterol. I'd like to see you lose 20 pounds and let's get this blood pressure down. Is it health motivated? Is it vanity motivated? What's the reason? Because if your reasoning for what you want to choose is weak or vague or not something you really want to do, you won't do it. And you might use choosing not to choose as a way to stall, procrastinate, not actually step into something that makes it happen. You know, it's interesting. Have you ever heard somebody at a stoplight when the person in front of them isn't going or isn't moving and someone in the car will yell, pick something, even if it's wrong, do something. And I think, yeah, choose. Choose to go forward. Choose to turn right. Choose to turn on your flashers and say your car is stalled. Whatever. Make a choice. Don't just sit there looking like an idiot. But that's what we do when we choose not to choose. We're sitting there and not making a directive for ourselves. So let's go back over this one more time. Divide out what you're wanting to do or accomplish or change. Ask yourself why. Why do I want this? And then really take a look at what are the motivations. Let's break it down into choice A and choice B. I could do this or I could do that. What are the pros and cons of choice A? What are the pros and cons of choice B? What am I leaning toward? What are my unconscious motivations or things in the way of me pulling off what I want to do? Like let's say you're going to sign up for a class at the college. What are the repercussions of that? The time, the money, the supplies you might need to buy. What is it you're trying to accomplish by doing that? What are the cons? What are your fears? What would happen if you succeeded? What would happen if you weren't good at it? What would happen if you failed? What would happen if you felt like you tried, but it was just a waste of money? Who are you going to disappoint? Who's going to rag you and say, yeah, I told you you shouldn't have done that. I told you it was a waste of time and money. Those are all the unconscious things that make you choose not to choose. And here's the really important thing for you to remember. Choosing not to choose is a choice. It is a choice to sit and keep the status quo. If you don't sign up for the gym or don't start walking or you don't go to the art class, you're not going to make the changes in your life. If one of your New Year's resolutions was that you wanted to learn how to paint and indulge this artistic creativity that you've got inside you, if you don't step into it and try, you won't know. But one of the unconscious motivations might be that you fear looking embarrassed or feel foolish, or maybe you're not as good as you thought you were, or you think it might be fun, but it's not, and then you feel stuck. So look at what are all those unconscious reasons for you doing or not doing what it is that you'd like to get accomplished. So, all right, we're going to go to break in a minute. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about many of the reasons why we don't succeed at the things we're hoping to change in our lives. So take this lesson of choosing not to choose. And while we're at break, kind of think for a minute. Have there been things that I've been avoiding deciding because I didn't want to step into one direction or another? That's choosing not to choose. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Are you not getting treatment for a work injury because of denials? Call me, Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, at 530-262-2168, and I will get you results. The insurance company and your employer have an attorney working hard for them. You need somebody fighting for you. When you call Gorman Law, you're going to speak with me, not a paralegal, because the last thing you should be worried about is whether or not your attorney is working for you. There's no cost until your case is settled. Consultations are free and confidential. Call today, 530-262-2168. That's 530-262-2168.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're listening to Randy McGinnis play Native American flute. Just love the sound of that. Oh, all right, so we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Why? Why do we do this to ourselves? We are, as human beings, most of us, the care, are always trying to be a better version of ourselves than what we think we are right now. So the New Year's resolutions that we tend to set are to make us feel better about ourselves and to feel more directed, more successful, and trying to be a better version of who we are. So what are the New Year's resolutions that people often set? One of the biggest ones is they're going to lose weight. They're going to eat healthier. And again, take a look at why do you want to do this? Why do you want to weigh less or eat healthier? What are your motivations? Don't be vague about it. Be very specific about it. And also, don't be thinking of a too lofty of a goal. If you're picturing yourself back in your size fours and you're a 14 now, it's a pretty lofty goal for right now. What about just saying, I'm going to drop a pant size. I'm going to cut out and pick two or three things that you eat that are your nemesis. I often say that to people. I've dealt with compulsive eating and eating disorders for many, many years. And I usually say to people, what's your bugaboo food? What's the thing that if you didn't eat, you would be so much better? And they almost always have something. It's ice cream, or it's beer, or it's bread, or sugar, or getting high-calorie, high-fat coffees in Starbucks. They usually have something that they say, oh, I waste a lot of nutritional value and a lot of calories on that. So stop and think, what if you didn't do an all or nothing thing? What if you limited it? Rather than have a big, huge bowl of ice cream every night, what if you got to have a bowl of ice cream one day a week? What if you got to have a little bit? Now, a lot of people will tell me it's easier to have nothing than to have a little bit, and that is often true. So when you're thinking of wanting to lose weight, look at why. And look at, instead of thinking all or nothing, I'm going to start being perfect, I'm going to never eat anything bad. I'm going to eat chicken breasts and veggies for the rest of my life. Think about just a few little ways that you can make a difference in your eating habits that would set you up for success, because that's the biggest one that people say. The next biggest one is exercising more. And that's because as humans in this day and age, as Americans probably, most people I talk to are exhausted. Everybody is so tired. They're not getting enough sleep or good quality sleep. They're racing around a lot. They've got a lot of irons in the fire. If you've got kids at home and elderly parents, I call that the sandwich generation, where you're sandwiched between raising your own kids and taking care of your own parents. There's a lot of irons in the fire that make people exhausted. And one of the first things to go when you're tired is taking care of yourself. So exercise means you have to stop doing some stuff and start doing that. So think about that. What's a way that you could increase your activity level in a simple and not a huge way, but would increase your exercise? There was a study that was just recently reported about exercising, just walking 20 minutes a day, three times a week, lowers your risk for cancer and high blood pressure significantly. So, and that's not a lot. We're not talking about you have to go out and walk for 2 hours every day. You have to walk for an hour every day. You have to get up off your chair and walk for 20 minutes three times a week to make a difference in your health. That's a really good goal to start out with. So if you're catching my drift here, people often set vague and unrealistic goals. It's two of the reasons why New Year's resolutions fail. So what if you started out with a goal that said three times a week, I'm going to get up, have my coffee, put on my walking shoes, put on a sweatshirt or sweater or something. I'm going to head out the door and I'm going to walk away from the house 10 minutes. That's all. If you walk away from your house for 10 minutes, what happens? You have to turn around and come back. That's 20 minutes. So your goal has become something that feels much more manageable to bite off. So with the eating healthier and exercising more comes the number three resolution that people always set. They want to lose weight. And they think if they can do the number one and two, the number three will happen. So if you talk to people about their New Year's resolutions, those are the things you're going to hear the most. The next ones come with financial issues. People want to save more, spend less, change jobs, earn more money, and they'll have a set of New Year's resolutions around financial goals. Then the next set of type goals that I see people set all the time are the getting rid of bad habits goals. They want to quit smoking. They want to stop drinking so much. They want to smoke less pot. They want to get rid of some bad habit that they've got going. So they generally don't have a plan for stopping that. They just think, I'm not going to do that anymore as of January 1st. How many people have you known that throw their cigarettes away January 1st? Stuff like that happens, but they don't have a plan to take it beyond that. They are kind of picturing that their set determination is going to overcome the discomfort that they're going to feel. So let's go back to the idea of what if you have a resolution like that? How do you set yourself up for success? So when I talk to people about quitting smoking, I talk to them about cutting way back, so that they're down to just a couple of cigarettes a day, so that their nicotine uptake is a lot less, so their withdrawal will be a little more manageable. And that's when they have another plan to start, when they're ready to get rid of cigarettes all the way. Nicotine patches, or they've talked to their doctor and gotten a prescription for medication that helps them. But they have a plan, and they've worked into the plan. And they have a day, maybe New Year's Day is your day for stopping that, and that's fine. But you didn't just do it vaguely or off the cuff. You really worked at it, thought about it, and planned it out. What if your goal is to drink less alcohol? I hear that from people all the time. They come into my office and they start recognizing that they're coping more with alcohol. They're using it more and more to turn the volume down on the anxiety and the stress in their lives. And so instead of saying, I will never drink again, and they want to say, I want to cut back, make a plan for how you're going to cut back. Instead of drinking hard alcohol, maybe you're going to drink wine coolers. Maybe you're going to substitute something, like I have a friend who substitutes Crystal Light lemonade, and he'll have two or three of those and just have maybe one drink occasionally. So have a plan that gives you something else to do that makes you feel successful. So we're back to, why do we set New Year's resolutions and why do they fail? They're vague. They are based on a lot of fears instead of on healthier choices and trying to feel better. They're based on trying not to feel so bad. So let's take a minute for you to stop and take a look at yourself. What is it that you feel badly about with yourself? What do you wish was different? How do you wish that you were more or less of you? What are the habits that you are embarrassed about that you don't want people to know you do or don't do? What do you admire in other people? When somebody says to you they're vegetarian or vegan or they do eat this or they don't eat that, or they go to the gym X number of times per week and they do an hour and a half spin class a couple times, and are those the things that make you go, whoa, I wish I could say that about myself? What do you admire in others? What do you dislike about yourself? And how does that motivate you to change? And does it motivate you, or does it just make you feel bad? You know, people will hang a picture of themselves on the refrigerator where they look really gross. Their worst picture. Their double chin, their gut sticking out, they're looking fat in their jeans. And they'll put a picture up on the refrigerator and think, that's going to motivate me. Actually, that makes you feel horrible. You look at that picture and you say, oh, I'm fat and ugly. That's what I call the F and U's, the fat and uglies. So that doesn't motivate you to do better. Hang a picture of yourself where you just go, wow, I look good there. And that's more motivating than making yourself feel bad. So when we go back to New Year's resolutions, why do you set them? What is it you're trying to accomplish? And what are you hoping to change in yourself? And how are you hoping to feel better? And you've got to answer that question. What is it I'm choosing to do? What is it I'm not choosing to do? And how am I choosing not to choose to make changes? That's quite a mouthful, isn't it? Choosing not to choose to make changes. That's what we do to ourselves. And then we feel like failures, or like we're not accomplishing what we want to. Or by January 7th or 8th, you don't want to tell people what your New Year's resolution was because you've already dropped it. Or you're already struggling to keep it going. So let's not think in terms of New Year's resolutions. We're going to think in terms of how to make changes so that they stick. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about how do you make changes and make them stick. Be back in a minute.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. All right, we're talking about, this is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about New Year's resolutions. Why? Why do we do them? Why do they fail? Why do we even bother? So what I like people to do, rather than make a whole set of new rules for yourself that you're going to feel crummy about when you can't keep going in January, I like people to think about what are the lifestyle changes that they would like to make. So the idea is to stop and visualize and do this thing that I call blue sky. And blue sky is where you think all the way better, not just a little bit. You think, okay, if I wanted to be happy in this house where I'm living, what would make it wonderful? And you can dream and you can think about stuff you would do to the house, or if you would sell it and move, or if you would find a different place to rent. What would make your living situation better? And really just brainstorm and think blue sky. And then when you narrow that down to one small choice, what would make me happier in this house? Well, I don't have enough storage space. So what if you wanted to make more storage space? What would you do? Well, if I cleaned out a few closets and got rid of some stuff, I would have more storage space and I'd be able to move that stuff into that space. So a small goal would be, I'm going to clean out that closet. And you don't set a lofty, vague goal that says, I want to like my house better. I don't like where I'm living. I want something different. You're very specific. You keep narrowing it down. So what you think of as the broad blue sky goal is the top of a funnel. Picture a funnel that's wide at one end and very narrow at the other. At the top of the funnel is your broad goal. And then as you begin to narrow down into more specifics, you get tighter and tighter. So choked on my water. That was good. Note to self, don't drink water in the middle of the show. I'm right. Okay, so you're at the top of the funnel and you're making a broad goal. Narrow that goal down until it's something that is much more something that you can accomplish. Okay, I'm right. I had to stop coughing. I'm right. I just choked on water. Okay, stop talking and swallow. That would work better. All right, so the blue sky goal is at the top of the funnel, and that is a broader goal. And then you narrow it down into something that is bite size. Okay? So let's go back to a New Year's resolution. A real typical one is, I want to lose weight. That would be at the top of the funnel. I want to lose weight. Then you go a step down from that. Why do I want to lose weight? And let's say you've got some pretty realistic goals. I don't like how my clothes are fitting. The doctor's told me he wants me to lose weight. I'm going to have to start on blood pressure medicine if I don't. There's a history of diabetes in my family, and I'm worried about that. So I have motivation for doing this. Then let's go down the funnel a little tighter than that. What do I want to do to lose weight? And so what I like people to do is name something you can stop doing and something that you can start doing. So what's something you can stop doing to lose weight? And I'll tell you, if you're a man, you can stop drinking beer and eating dessert and you'll drop.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.